Demers Ambulances is one of the largest, most trusted ambulance design and manufacturers in the world, with a vision to build safe, reliable, and efficient emergency vehicles to assist paramedics in saving lives. Demers manufactures Type 1, 2, and 3 emergency medical and fire ambulances that set the bar for quality, innovation, attention to detail, and rigorous testing. To find a Demers ambulance dealer in your region, visit www.demers-ambulances.com. Your partner on the road, every day, on every call.
Is your fire department prepared to face challenges like the turbulent economy, recruiting and retention, and funding? Level up and get the training and strategies you need on the issues that matter most at WAVE 2023, featuring ESO Training Academy on April 11th through the 14th, 2023, in Austin, Texas. ESO, a leading provider of fire RMS and EPCR software, brings together national industry leaders, quality training, and experienced fire and EMS professionals for a unique conference experience that will inspire you to drive change within your organization and prepare for 2023's challenges. For a limited time, our listeners can use the discount code FIRETRUCK to save $100 on a full 4-day conference pass. Don't miss this opportunity to learn from some of the nation's top experts in emergency services. Visit ESOWAVE.com to register today. That's ESOWAVE.com. See you in Austin on April 11th through the 14th, 2023.
This podcast is brought to you by Flex 7 from Tenkata Protective Fabrics. Like a trusted turnout jacket you've had for years, Flex 7 outer shell fabric delivers a perfectly broken-in feel on the very first wear. Flexible, comfortable, empowered with the strength of enforced technology, Flex 7 outer shell fabric is made to move. To learn more, visit TenkataFabrics.com/Flex7. Flex 7, powered by enforced technology, only from Tenkata Protective Fabrics.
Good evening, and welcome to another edition of everyone's favorite talk show, everyone's favorite podcast, everyone's favorite show to listen to while they are going to order food from takeout restaurants. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Larry Conley Radio Show. And, of course, if you know anything about the show, you know that I am not Larry Conley. I am Dave Conley, which it's actually better, but a different show. So since we're here for the Larry Conley Radio Show, let me introduce you to our fearless leader. Ladies and gentlemen, some people call him L-Dog. Some people call him late for dinner, but I just call him my brother, our fearless leader. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands and a couple feet together for Deputy Chief of Training for Collinsville, Illinois Fire Department, Larry Conley.
Yay.
We're still saving up for that the audience and clap track and all that. You would think
the GoFundMe is up to $2.75.
Right. So we're getting somewhere. Good. You know, fundraising is not easy. To tell you the truth, you know, especially worthy causes like sound effects for the Larry Conley Show. Hey, welcome back. We're glad to be back after another 7 weeks off. We had a great show last time. With our good friend Lena Carmichael, and now we're going to have a great show tonight as well. And, we're a little over a month out for another family reunion in Indianapolis, better known as FDIC. And, man, I'll tell you, I can't wait. It looks like it gets here quicker every year. I guess I'm getting old. Remember when we were kids, David, Mom would say, wait till next Christmas. And it just seemed like, wow, that's like a long time. It's 365 days away. It's
so long.
We'll never get our gifts. We'll be too old by then. And then now that you get older, you remember Christmas like it was yesterday. You know, so it's crazy.
Yeah.
And then And sometimes I don't remember yesterday, so what was that time? But anyway, we're back, God willing. We'll be back here toward the end of April. Last week in April is FDIC. Our show, we're going to be teaching proven leadership habits for optimal personal performance. That's a mouthful, I know, but hey, you'll be glad you came. And we're going to be doing that on the 27th of April at 3:30, from 3:30 to 5:15. And so come on out, check us out, look it up on the FDIC website. It's going to be a lot of great people there, a lot of great presentations, and just going to be, as usual, a great time in Indianapolis. Missing one major key piece, which is our dear friend Bobby Halton. So it's going to be weird
Rest
how the new FDIC happens now without watching Bobby walk down the halls and kind of part the Red Sea, and people want to take pictures, and he's doing his rock star stuff, and opening ceremony is going to be different because we usually used to the fiery rah-rah speech to get everybody fired up, and everybody comes running out the auditorium like, yeah, let's do it! You know, and they run into classes and run into stuff and just come out fired up, ready to just, you know, maximize their experience at FDIC. So I'm sure the great people, Diane Feldman and Chief David Rhodes, I'm sure they have a master plan that's going to be just as effective. Just won't be the Bobby thing, but definitely be just as effective to making sure that it's worth your while coming out to the big show. 35,000 firefighters every year take over Indianapolis. I mean, you've never seen such a thing.
Yeah.
It's big banners taking over buildings with big, handsome pictures of firefighters and nice pictures of firefighters, men and women, displayed all over Indianapolis. And so we take over. I don't know, maybe NASCAR, maybe when they do the Indy 500, is bigger. But I don't know anything bigger that comes to Indianapolis that shuts it down like we do. And opening ceremony, you get the mayor there talking, you get the governor talking, you get Chief Ernest Malone talking, you just get the big wigs to come out on the stage and really fire things up and get us going, and we just take over downtown Indianapolis. So if you have never been before, it's a sight to see, it's a thing to experience. And even if you're not a firefighter, David's not a firefighter. He's seen every episode of Chicago Fire, but he's not a firefighter. But even David gets excited. He's there like, wow, this is big, you know. I mean, you know, so I don't know any other profession. I'm not going to name professionals because I don't want to get sued, but any other profession, you just don't see a convention this big with this much happiness and bravado and it's just all around bigness. You don't see it. You only see it at FDIC. So come on, come on, bring your family, mortgage the house, leverage, sell the car. Do what you got to do. Get to Indianapolis last week in April and check out all the things. And then, not only that, don't just come and have a good time. No, that's just part of it. Come, take as many classes as you can, learn stuff, and then FDIC is only as effective as you coming and then taking that stuff back to your department and then infecting your department with all the good stuff that you learned at FDIC, making a difference worldwide. Where did you learn this? FDIC. Guess what? Somebody else will want to come next year. Who knows? One day it might be 70,000 firefighters there. Who knows? But whatever it is, come on through, learn something, take it back to your department, keep yourself safe, keep your department safe, and do what it takes to make sure that you bring out the best that you are in your career. And FDIC is definitely one of the best ways to do that. It's, I didn't know what I was getting myself into when I first started going there. I'm glad I go. I look every year, look forward to it every year. I go to reconnect with my old friends and then make a bunch of new friends. And then when people come to our classes or we go to other people's classes, we take a note, they take a note. The social hours are great because everybody knows that some of the best deals are cut over a libation, and make sure you get that deal cut early, because the libations kick in too much, you won't remember the deal you cut. So write that stuff down. If you're having a beer, you're cutting the deal, write the notes down early, because once you get a couple more beers, you might not remember it, So write this stuff down early and have a good time. Every restaurant downtown Indianapolis, they say you can't get in a restaurant. A bunch of firemen in there just eating and having a good time. And firefighters from all over the country, in some cases all over the world. We got firefighters just coming in and really converging on this. There's nothing else like it. So I was paid very well for this plug. No, I'm not getting paid.
I was about to say, right?
But I am definitely I am speaking for part in saying that FDIC is definitely a place to be. So, and some people just come up for a day or two. They come up for a couple of days. They see the exhibits, and things like that. Hey, if all you got time for or the budget for is just a couple of days, hey, do that. If it's a short drive for you like it is from us from St. Louis, it takes us about three and a half hours to get there. I just jump on 70. I don't stop unless I got to pee. I do that a lot the older I get. But past that, once I'm done, at the love truck stop and using the bathroom, I'm back on the road. Due east to FDIC. That's where I do. So come on out and have a great time. And we'll see you in there. Now check us out. Tell us what you think of the show and let's connect and get to know each other better.
Did you realize you were rhyming the place to be is FDIC?
I'm a poet and I don't even know it. So this is what we do.
Moving on.
Fire departments and structures conference. That is not the bank. It's not a bank convention. Not Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. It ain't that. It's fire departments. It's not to be confused with a bank convention. This is not. You're gonna spend some bank at FDIC. I guarantee you.
Right.
But it's not the bank thing. It's definitely FDIC. So come on through FDIC 2023. See, I did it again. I wasn't even trying.
I'm just saying.
I can't help myself.
Stop it.
But part of the reason that I'm excited about our guest tonight is because he's an old friend. He's been on the show before, but he's going to be at FDIC this year as well. And he has to go, even if he didn't feel like going. He has to go this year. Because our guest tonight is going to be one of the keynote speakers at FDIC, and so you're going to want to hear from him tonight and hear what he has to say. And I'm really excited about that because Missouri has been representing, 2021. David and I did our keynote at FDIC. Very honored to be able to do it. When you're sitting in the audience when you first start going, and you kind of aspire to maybe one day I can do that, and actually happens and becomes a dream come true, is no other feeling like it. And you're trying to explain it to maybe your friends who are thinking, have those same aspirations. So talking to our guest tonight, when I was explaining to him and then he got chosen to speak, then now he's going to be able to experience what David and I experienced back in 2021. So we'll be talking to him tonight for a minute. But before we get started, this just in. There, if you know Uncle Larry, there are some things that are very, very dear to me. One of them is cars. The other one is, this is a family show, so I can't say that. But anyway, there are some things that are very dear to me. And one of the things that is the volunteer stuff that I've been doing for over 20 years now. And it's a little thing called Midwest Children's Burn Camp. And we're part of a huge network of burn camps throughout the country, in some cases around the world. And it's the thing I've been doing for going on my 21st year now. And burn camp was one of those kind of things I was going to do initially. It's a camp for burn injured children ages 6 to 17. And I was just going to do it 1 year because I'm not really a camp person. You know, I like concrete, vacant lots, gunshots. I love the whole urban experience.
You know,
that's me.
Right,
small
right.
Trees, you know, I love all that. But camp can be kind of creepy. You know, like you're out in the woods, strange noises, silence, and you just don't
Jason,
know what was that looking at me over in the woods with the eyes lighting up? What was that? You know, but what I did like is I was going to do camp 1 year, and I went and I did 1 year 20 times. So now, since then, I've been the camp director at Midwest Children's Burn Camp. It's been a great experience. It's not only transformative for our campers, it's transformative for me as well. And so with all that being said, there's always, something that, just like I cut out their time every year for FPIC, I cut out their time in August, the first week in August for burn camp every year, no matter what's going on. I'm going to camp. Some major has to happen. I've just been blessed and lucky enough to be able to come every year consistently without any kind of – before, see, when I first started coming to camp, I didn't get AARP stuff in the mail. Now I do. That's how long I've been going to camp. So it's been a long time.
Not a long
time. But the great thing about camp is we've always done fundraisers for camp because no child pays for camp. Camp is free, but camp ain't free, if you understand what I mean. It's free for the child, but it's not free to put on. Camps need to be paid, for real. You know, transportation need to be paid. They would like to do it for free, but they just can't. It just doesn't make sense. So the camp has to be paid for. Transportation has to be paid for. You know, meals, all kind of incidentals to support camp. So that can go on upwards of about $70,000 is for sending all the children to camp. No one pays for camp. And we're really trying to keep it that way. And, of course, you know, fundraising would be a challenge depending on what the economics are or whatever's going on. So we always find ourselves having some definitely donors who are very reliable and spot on, but there's always, you know, always in the need to have our, you know, more donations to kind of guarantee that no child ever has to pay. See, when you go to a doctor, you might pay insurance, but they always want their copay. And we're trying to make sure that our campers never have to pay a copay to go to camp. Like, I want to come to camp, but camp going to cost $70,000. But, hey, if you got $5, kid, you can help us out. You know, we don't ever want to do that to our campers to come to camp. They got enough to deal with, and our burn survivors are outstanding individuals. If you ever get to visit a burn camp in your area, please go check it out because they've overcame a lot in a lot of things that they're dealing with their scars. And our job is always to try to really tap into that personal leader inside of them, tap into the character inside, tap into that gift that's inside, and we let them know your gift is inside. The outside is just a wrapper, but their gift inside. So I was talking to two people who are instrumental in our camp, and they both are great people. One of my favorite people at camp for years has been Rachel. She's our camp nurse. We call her Rocky. And Rachel, Rachel and I have had a wonderful relationship over the years. And the weird thing about Rachel and I is that we see things a lot of times different. People who teach us call me the head and call her the heart. because I'll be logically thinking through stuff, and then she'll like, but you have to really consider the empathy of this, and then I'm like, ain't no empathy, girl. Come on, let's get the job done. So we've had some great lengthy conversations, and some of them have been, you know, like, you know, we'll be in disagreement, but we always end up circling back to meeting in the middle, to where our love for the camp, the mission, and our children are first and foremost, and we do whatever we can to make sure that at the end of the day, we have the best service for the kids, no matter what our stance is on things. And then also, one of our most solid camp counselors is Jake Colleen. And Jake, man, I mean, if I was to come back reincarnated, I want to be Jake, because this dude is just, you know, he's a lean, mean, sexy camping machine. I mean, he just if you see Jake, you see Jake with his shirt off. I don't want to get into that. This is a family show. But Jake is just, you know, he's just that guy, you know. You know, you see people, and he don't even say much. He just kind of look at the kids. They be like, okay, Jake, we know. He don't even have to say nothing to them. He just give them a look, you know. But Jake is really one of our most solid games. He's a St. Louis City firefighter, so we fought a few fires together. But just a really solid person himself. And always pushing and challenging himself. You know, he'd be like, what you been up to, Jake? I just ran down to Alabama and back. You know, what you been doing today? Oh, damn, you know, I'm watching soap opera. Mm. You know, I'm sorry, you know. Mm. I'm sorry I didn't measure up, Jake. You know, my mistake, Jake. You know, so. But Jake is just a solid person. So what him and Rachel have come up with is a fundraiser that they want to talk about tonight. And I mean, what they have to do to get to reach their goal with this fundraiser, that's really pushing both of them. And as tough as Jake is, this got to be a challenge when I heard about what they're doing. So they're going to have a fundraiser coming up next month. Rachel has all the details since they put it together. So for our first segment, I'm going to let Rachel and Jake take it away and talk about the what, why, and how, and the where, and hopefully, especially you people who are local, want to come out and help support. So, Rachel, Jake, are you guys still on?
Yeah. Thanks for having us, Larry.
Do your thing.
So, as you beautifully introduced us, I'm Rocky. I'm the camp nurse practitioner, and I've been a part of camp for 14 years maybe this year. And we're essentially hiking the vertical equivalent of Mount Everest, so 29,000 feet in 36 hours in September, and we're trying to raise $70,000 for camp. Camp costs $2,500 a kid to go to camp each year. So we're trying to raise $70,000, and we're doing that. Essentially, we decided we didn't want to sit back and just assume that camp was going to happen. We love volunteering at camp, but we wanted to do more this year. And so we kind of tied in, we decided to do this crazy thing and hike the vertical equivalent of Mount Everest to raise that money. And so we're having an event in April 15th in St. Louis with bourbon, mixed drinks and wine and beer, cigars outside by the campfire, live music. It's going to be really nice. And so we would love for anyone to come in St. Louis. And if anyone wants to donate listening not in St. Louis, you can easily do that. Go to Burns Recovered page and then essentially donate to Summit for 70, or I guess that's the easiest way. Or Uncle Larry, if you want to transfer people to me, I can always share more information. Also, if people want to donate, we're having a raffle to a week-long vacation in Big Bear, California, plus airfare, and we're only selling 200 tickets. The chances to win that are really good, and that all goes to camp, too.
Great. Jake, you got anything? I told you Jake was the quiet one. You got anything to say, Jake?
No, Rachel did a beautiful job of saying everything needed to be said.
Okay, Jake, take it away. I'll let my feet do the walking, do the talking.
That's right.
So Rachel again is
when I'm dying on the mountain, Jake will
exactly.
Better have
come on. You can do it, old friend. Let's do it. Let's do it for the kids. You can do it.
That's right.
Right. The event again is what date?
It's April 15th.
And where?
In St. Louis at Strathalbyn. It's 10 minutes out of the city. It's in Weldon Springs.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's
going
to be a really fun event. I mean, I've heard a lot of people say they're really excited. It's not just another gala to raise money. It's going to be a really unique, awesome event.
Right.
And for a good cause.
Cool. And you, and they want to get in touch with you or the website or a phone number or something, that would be what?
Yeah. My cell phone is 573-999-2716. Or if they go to the BRSG page, so www.brsg.org, then you can go to Summit for 70 or our event on April 15th. And either way, you can get more information. But also, they can feel free to call or text me anytime.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And then, for people who are out of town, because Rachel, I don't know if you know, but you're talking to an international audience. There are people in Tanzania right now listening
worldwide,
to the show.
Baby.
We're worldwide. That's how we get down. So if they just want to make a donation because they can't get to St. Louis, could they just make a donation to the cause as well?
I would love that. It would make a humongous difference, absolutely. If they go to the BRSG website, on the events page, you can see Summit for 70 Fundraisers. And then you can just easily donate there, or they can text me and I can send them a link. But, yeah, it's pretty easy to donate on the page going to Summit for 70.
Okay, great. Anything else you want to say about it?
No, you're wonderful. Thank you so much. I would love to have anyone out there. Oh, the only other thing is, yeah, we have so the tickets are $250, and we're more than halfway sold out, but there's a hero code for any firefighters or nurses, and they can buy a table using the code or whatever, and it's Golden Hero, no spaces, and that's for only $125 a ticket.
Okay.
And also,
yeah,
I would say,
go ahead.
If there are any firefighters that want to come and can't afford that, let me know, and we can try to work something out.
Okay. Yeah. Because I mean, everybody don't get paid like Al LaDue. No, I'm just playing. Yeah, we work. You know, Jake, we used to work in LaDon. You know, that's where we worked. You know. So, but seriously, come on out, check it out, and all of your efforts and all your donations and everything goes to sending a burn injured child to camp for free, and that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
And Rachel, like she said, she's been there for 14 years. Rachel, I thought she was only 14. No, but anyway, Rachel's been there 14 mm-hmm. years. And Rachel and I, Will, and Jake, too, we can all bear witness that camp definitely makes a difference. And I've been there long enough to see kids grow up to grown folks. And now these grown folks are productive adults based on a lot of principles that they learned at camp. They're grown. They have children. They're living their life. I don't want to say normal life. They're just living life despite their burn injuries. But a lot of stuff that they take away, God, the takeaways from camp has helped them become successful adults. So we do make a difference in these burn injured children. And the great
thing about it,
such a great family, the burn injured children, that the grown folks come back and then also help. So we got a number of campers who, you know, were former campers that are grown now, and they come back and they're counselors now. So it's a great organization. Always have been, and always will be. I'm just glad that Rachel and Jake are stepping up. You see what they're doing. But anyway, they're stepping up.
Yeah, pretty good
for the calls, you know. And it's going to be a lot of stepping up by the time they do. So
mm-hmm.
they should get back and soak their feet. Yeah, that's a lot. So you go, girl. So anyway, I'm proud of you guys, and I appreciate you, and I'm really glad to be associated with you guys doing great things, because you don't have to do it. I mean, I was trying to figure out what I could do to match that. I don't know. Nothing sounds appealing. I'll figure something out, but geez.
Don't talk too long. We'll drag you along up the mountain.
Yeah, I know. He'd be dragging me up and down. I'm like, hey, you know, be like, so I'm trying to think of a witty thing, something in the phrase, you know. So, you know. but anyway, no, but just please get your support out to the organization, get your support for Summit to 70 so we can reach this goal. And then what we want to do, maybe Rachel and Jake, is after you guys achieve the goal of Summit to 70 and we raise that 70 grand and you guys are back and, you know, you can be soaking your feet and call us on the phone and we can talk about your adventure. How you had to really dig into your personal leadership to make that happen. So let's have you guys back after we're done. So this is the prequel, and then after that, we just kind of have a post show on how well things went. So, but we appreciate
awesome
you guys coming on the show.
That would be awesome. We hope allow some of the kids to really offer any of the kids to write a wish or a fear or a hope or anything that will take up the mountain with us. So they will be on our summit with us. So it should be an awesome next, you know, whatever, 6 months to raise this money and do it for the kids and see it through. Mm-hmm. So we would love that.
Okay. We appreciate you, Rachel and Jake. And thank you. Thanks for doing it. And thanks for just adding another element of being able to help our burn injured children. So you heard it here, folks. So give them a call and reach out with the website that she gave you and the phone number she gave you. And let's make it happen. We'll talk to you guys after you come back down from the mountain. So,
all right. Thanks, Larry.
All right.
What's
thank
the
you
name of
thank
the
you
website?
Huh?
What's the website again?
The website is B as in Burns, R as in Recovered, S as in Support, G as in Group. So brsg.org.
Okay,
and then
if you go to
events, then you will scroll down and see Summit for 70, or the next event is the April 15th event, and you can register for both on there. And again, the code for the firefighters is Golden Hero when you're registering. But you can always text me the information too, or, you know, any questions.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
All right. Thank you. All right. Talk to you later.
All right.
All right. So, Summit for 70. Check it out. And we appreciate your support as an organization. Now, we're going to move on to our featured guest. Ladies and gentlemen, you know him, you love him. The Assistant Chief of Kirkwood Fire, Missouri Fire Department. He's also the first Vice President of the International Society for Fire Service Instructors, better known as ISFSI. Yeah, say it real fast unless you mess them letters up. He's also President of the St. Louis Training Officers Association, a very good friend of mine. We tease and talk each other all the time, but when it comes to getting down to business, we got each other's back. Like no other, and I'm proud to call him a friend of mine and a consummate professional. Brian, he doesn't know, but even though I'm older than him, I look at him for a lot of the template on things I try to be successful at, because I was like, if Brian can do it, I can do it. So, yeah, I'm still working toward, you know, building my pedigree just as well as he is. But very, very, you know, sometimes you meet people and they're very calculating, but they're stick in the mud. You're like, well, you're no fun. And then sometimes you meet people who are extremely fun, but they don't have a lot of substance to them. But I'm glad to say that, you know, when I think about Brian Seitz, Brian has a great mixture of both. He's very funny, very witty, but also when it comes to getting ready to take care of business, he does that like no other. And so I love that balance in him, and I think that's what's always been an attractive quality to him for me personally. But we're going to talk about tonight his keynote speech. He's going to reveal what he wants on that. And Dave and I have had a little peekaboo into it to, you know, help bounce ideas. And So it looks good. It looks ready to go according to what we think, and if that means anything. And then, of course, Brian is going to be teaching this class up there at FDIC this year, so we're going to learn what that's about and what days you can check that out. And then we'll be talking about some ISFSI stuff since he's deeply involved in that, and see what the ISFSI will be doing at FDIC this year. ISFSI, if you want to donate to Burn Camp, you can, you know. So, baby, what can ISFSI, what they're doing this year at FDIC, and because they're always doing something great. And you, or if you're an aspiring instructor, or you're already an instructor and want to do it better, or you want some great networking and some great association, the ISFSI is where it's at. I've been a member for a number of years now. I was on the board at one time, and it's just a great organization. It's opened a lot of doors for me in my career, and has made me the instructor I am today. But anyway, without further ado, because we want to get you off this, get everybody out of here before midnight, we're going to now talk to our buddy, your friend, my friend, the Assistant Chief of Kirkwood Fire Department, Brian Seitz. Brian, he's still on.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm here. It's great. I was actually looking up the bourbon event that the burn camp's going to have out close to my house. It looks like a fun time, and definitely encourage anybody that's going to be in around St. Louis that weekend of April 15th to check it out. It sounds like a nice event and for a great cause. So, you know, get your tickets now.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And then, I forgot Rachel's still on. You know what? I was going to answer Rachel real quick before we get mention something real quick about the golf tournament, because Brian likes golf. So mention something about the golf tournament real quick. Yeah.
We have an awesome golf tournament also in St. Louis. It's now, I don't even know, multiple years
May 1st.
Going.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But it's May 1st, and it's at Norwood, and we've sold out every single year, and so this year we doubled the amount of teams, and we're well on our way to selling that out. It's a really fun time. There's a bunch of awesome stuff at each different hole, including the volunteers sort of leading the holes. But it should be also a really fun event. And you can find that event also on our BRSG page. It's a few events down from the Summit for 70, and then there's the April event, and then the golf tournament. So that should be fun, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, golf tournament is always a great time, and they make it fun. I mean, every year it's more creative and more creative. I don't know who works in the creative department, but whoever is doing it is doing a great job, because we got cigars and we got this is all kind of great stuff. So anyway, if you want to have a great time that's on a Monday, right? On Monday, May 1st, come on through and check it out. But anyway, this next segment is dedicated to Brian Seitz. So how you been doing, brother? What's going on?
Good. I'm getting excited, getting nervous. A little over a month away from FDIC. Like you said earlier, it's going to be a different feel, obviously, with Chief Halton not there.
Right.
And I'm sure it'll be, you know, some sombering. I think it'll be a mix, right? Somber, laughs, some cries, and just a different feel to it. But, you know, like he would want us to do, he would want us to carry on and carry on his vision and mission of what FDIC is, which is the best fire training conference in the world. So it's our job now to take that legacy and continue it. So,
mm-hmm. So tell me how you felt when you got the call, because I know me and David was like, "What do you want us to do? What?" tell us, walk us through that whole thing of you got the call. You're going to do the keynote and what you thought after you hung up and what was your processing and what were you thinking along the lines of what was you going to talk about?
Well, yeah, it was weird. We were doing one of those hump day hangouts for fire engineering for ISFSI. And so before the show started, you know, you guys have done those. So, you know, everybody's on and kind of talking about the topic and, you know, me, I'm just writing my notes out of what I want to kind of talk about and the highlights and those sort of things. And we're getting going, and Chief Hall was talking about FDIC. And So he's like, yeah, you know, this year I got some great speakers and some keynotes for lineup for next year. And, you know, that one guy's got two Z's in his last name. And I'm like, oh, you know, just back away, you know, not paying attention. And he goes, it's that Brian Zeitz guy. And I look up, and I'm like, oh, yeah, ha-ha. And he goes, no, serious, you. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So we go through the whole, you know, hump day hangout, me assuming the whole time he's just messing with me, right? Because why would Brian Zeitz, with all these phenomenal candidates that are, you know, eligible out there and great speakers and well-known authors, why even have a chance at this thing? So we wrap up the hump day hangout, and, you know, his comment is like, so what do you think about that? As we're wrapped up, I'm like, I don't even know what to talk about. Like, are we talking about hump day hangout still? Are we talking about the joke you're playing on me? What are we doing here? And so I said, yeah, pretty funny. He goes, no, really? He goes, think of what you're going to say. You got 20 minutes to make an impact. And so call in, whatever, right? And so, of course, I'm at work. You know, it was a lunch hour. I did this hump day hangout, and I'm kind of in awe. I'm like, what's going on here? Tell my boss, Silvernail, Fire Chief Silvernail there, Jim, you know, friend of all of ours. And he's like, really? And I'm like, I don't think it's real. I said, I'm sure he's messing with me, right? So, like, you know, funny joke, haha, I'm waiting for the text from him or whatever, that, hey, you know, it's pretty funny. You know, here, you know, it's good. This is the guy that's really doing it in 23. You know, okay, cool. So I'm driving home that afternoon, and I call him on his cell phone. I'm like, hey, Bobby, how you doing? Friday's, hey, Bobby, how's it going? I said, yeah. I said, hey, pretty funny, you pulling that joke on me. And he goes, what joke? And I said, oh, this, you know, keynote thing at FDIC. And he goes, no joke, man. He goes, you're doing it. He goes, I couldn't think of a better guy to do it. He goes, you're the guy I want, and I wouldn't have said it if I didn't. I said, okay. So that's what he kind of said home for me, like, holy cow, this is for real. And so, you know, at that point, it was kind of like, wow, you know, this is, you know, then everything starts flashing, right? So, like, you know, you go back to your first FDIC that you taught at. I bombed it, you know, quite honestly, like, you know, it was not a good performance. It wasn't, I wasn't prepared. I thought I was prepared. I thought I was more ready than I was, and took for granted some things. And, you know, I equated to like, hey, I've been playing high school football, and then all of a sudden I got called to the pros, and I never had anything in between. And so when that happened, and I had a friend of mine, Becky White, who at the time was pretty good friends with Chief Alton, and you know, went and said, hey, this guy's got a lot of passion. He might not have had a great performance, but I can tell you he's going to be good. And so she went up to talk to him, and I came back the second year, and the rest is history, right? So, you know, when they say you don't get a second chance, sometimes you don't, sometimes you do. But if you do get a second chance like I did at FDIC and some of the other stuff, man, don't bomb it. And so, you know, the rest is history, as I like to say, and, you know, from a guy sitting in the audience, you know, 12 years ago, taking classes up at FDIC and still taking classes at FDIC. And then, you know, about 9 years ago, teaching my first class at FDIC till now, keynote, you know, speeching and keynoting at it, you know, quite a ride, right? So never in a million years. It was a humbling experience to ever, you know, just walk through the doors and, as a speaker at FDIC, much less up on that big stage. So, looking forward to it, excited, nervous, been working on this speech. It's kind of funny. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I said, yeah, I'm really looking, really getting excited about the speech. And they're like, you're not having a speech. And I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, don't think of it as a speech. Think of it as a conversation. You're having a conversation with 4,000 of your closest friends. And it really, at that point in time, it resonated with me that, like, I got to change this. And so I changed a lot of the verbiage, changed some of the tone. Because I really, you know, like you guys have always told me from your guys' one in 21 was, you know, you want to leave an impact. You just don't want to remember your words. You want to remember your message. And so if you're conversing with somebody, you know, as a conversationalist, that's going to be more impactful. So I went through, changed some things, put more stories in, and really that's what it is, right? It's a story about kind of, you know, lack of better terms, me, right? So, you know, I kind of go through as a young kid, started the fire service that was trying to look for a start and to where I'm now, and kind of what I kind of figure is the keys to success, if you will, or at least what's led me down a pathway of a pretty good life that I can provide for myself and my family. And then the fire service, you know, being able to make that proverbial impact and you know, and try to make it a little better. So when I retire, people aren't like, man, thank God that guy's gone, versus, wow, that guy's gone, we miss him, but he left a good impact. You know, he made the fire service a little bit better than he found it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think people like Bobby recognize, you know, passion and dedication to it. And I'm not saying that that makes us any better than anybody else, because there are a thousand keynotes out there ready to go. If FDIC wanted to say to themselves, you know what, who's going to do this? You know, are we ready for a deep bench of keynotes coming up? They really are. I mean, because there's a deep bench of great instructors. There's a deep bench of instructors right now that don't even know that they're going to be 2 years, 3 years, 5 years from now making some impact on the fire service through the instructors conference like that. And that's what's so great about our business, is that there's a deep bench of knowledge and things that are going to make us do our job better and save lives. And I love that, because there are some people I had never heard of. And I studied a lot of people before I even came to FDIC through books and periodicals and stuff like that before the internet. Kids, there was a time before the internet that there was no internet.
Right,
there was
right.
Just magazines, you know. but I studied, you know, the periodicals, magazines, and books and all that kind of stuff. And since then, there have been people that have been born and have came, they saw, they conquered, and have made the difference in our business. So there's a deep bench, and so I'm just proud to be part of that process, and I know you feel the same way. When you were writing your speech, you know, I know that you, or it's going to be perfect because you're kind of a perfectionist anyway. Is there any parts of it you want to kind of reveal or not? I don't want to be like that nosy reporter, like,
yeah,
I know what you said, Brian, but could you give us just a snippet of what you're going to be talking about? You know, so if you want to kind of give us a gift, or if not, we can move on to the next subject, like, you know, who your favorite deodorant or something.
No, you know, I thought about it for a long time, right? Because, you know, when it first happened, you know, like I said, you know, it's kind of like, wow, what do you, you know, 20 minutes? And 20 minutes seems like an eternity. And you can probably already tell I talk pretty fast. So my one thing I've been really working on is slowing that down so that people actually can hear me and understand me. They get excited. Like you said, I got that passion, and my passion causes excitement, and that excitement causes my speech to speed up. So how that'll go on April 27th, who knows, right? Anything's possible. But terms of the actual the speech and everything like that, you know, I want to say it's more of a journey, more of a tour, more of a walk with me, and some of the things that I've experienced through my life, through my career, some of the people that have made an impact on me, and then some of the lessons that I've learned along the way that I just want to share. And at the end of it, hopefully it leads to a culmination of ideas that, you know, through some geometry, how about that? That maybe it provides some foundational blocks for you to you know, follow and take adage from. And that's the goal, right? I want to go through it, have a few laughs along the way, but at the end of it, say, hey, you know, maybe some of that doesn't apply to me, but maybe that one part does, and I can learn from that or start doing that, you know. You know, one thing I really thought about when I wrote this was, you know, one part that really sticks with me is that firefighting's a team sport. We all agree to that. Mm. And in the fire service, we tend to think of our team players as other firefighters, and to your point of the bench, our bench has got to be wider than firefighters. It's got to include our family and our friends and some other things. And so I talk about that in my conversation with the audience about, you know, expand your bench and expand your team because you're going to need to if you're going to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's good. Because you do. Yeah. And I like that you said that, you know, in the preview it's going to have a mixture, because you don't want to put people to sleep, but you don't want to be so funny that you don't have any substance to it. So it's kind of like you got a great formula in making sure that it's going to be impactful, you know. So
and I didn't have the benefit of a TV producer, right? So, I mean, I didn't have that going for me, you know. So, you know, I'm already behind the curve.
Yeah, I just
Annoy
a guy, you know.
Yeah.
Brian.
Yes, ma'am.
You're naturally impactful.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And be more impactful if you had a couple of sandwiches.
You make a lady one sandwich and now look at you.
Right.
Man, that's all it takes.
Here we go.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. That's good
stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. Now, what I want to tell you, Brian, is giving advice from a guy who's been through it. And this may be an expert in it, but just talking from experience. David had to coach me into understanding that it's a production. And I lean more toward of the informal when we do our leadership program, GLUE, even though we have to cover different things for teaching points and making sure that we got our objectives out there. It's still done more, like you said, in a conversational, informal type of environment. So it's easy. So even if you goof up, you can kind of backtrack, people laugh at you, and you can carry. So I was so used to that style of delivery that when it came to this, it was unnerving to me because David was like, no, like Mr. Miyagi. Again, you were like, you know, but you stop it already, you know, and, because I had to match my informal habits along with formal big stage habits and deliver it in a way that people felt like it was a conversation, but it was part of a big production. For instance, you're going to have to practice in the green room and you got to be ready to understand the nuances of a teleprompter and you know, the little X's on the stage and looking out into the audience. And you know, it's a lot of technical stuff that I didn't realize. And David knows just because this is David's business. It's his expertise, you know. And that's all I just wanted to say is that don't be discouraged or overwhelmed by that. Not that you're not going to do it. I'm just saying that for me personally, it was a little overwhelming because when I was trying to be me, David said, yeah, I need you to be you, but I need you to act like you but not really be you because you need to deliver this way in order for it to come across that way if you understand what I'm saying. No, I don't understand what you're saying. But nonetheless, you know, we were able to pull it off and because, you know, I had to understand that. And even Bobby had said that before when we were initially talking about it, and he was saying, utilize every tool because every tool is what makes the production look like it does. You know, they got the lights up, they got the teleprompter, they got the introduction, they got all of this, all those moving parts. It is a real, it's not like a real production, it's a real production. And if you get up there and kind of try to treat it like you're talking to people in the classroom, you're not going to be as effective as you can be, you know. And even watching it after I see a lot of, like, stuff I wish I would have done different based on that advice, you know. But, it's just a lot to take on in the short amount of But you'll be all right with it. But just take advantage of it because he had told me about instructors in the past. We're like, Bobby, you don't take all that. You know, then got up there and like, bam, you know, it does take all that. You know, so, David, you want to kind of speak on that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you're a charismatic guy, you know, naturally anyway, and that's a good thing. But to Larry's point, it's more about you being on stage and being that charismatic guy to the guy in the back of the room. And in order for you to do that, even though they have image magnification, et cetera, you got to make sure that you are are presenting it as well as, you know, talking and doing, you know, your the words that you created in order to go down a certain logical path that, you know, gets them to the message that you want and to leave with whatever the feeling is that you're trying to get them to feel at the end of it. It's all, you know, with calculated, which I'm sure you've done, you know, in the speech that you've written. But then when you're presenting it, like you said, when you're just having that conversation, you and I sitting in a room talking, it has a certain energy that it's got to, that's got to be amplified, you know, once you're on the stage, and that's the that's the bigger thing. But like I said, I think if you just basically let that charisma just go full out, you'll be good. And the other thing that you got to kind of remember to do, which I think Larry did well, is to remember to just kind of have a good time when you're there. You got to enjoy that particular moment, you know what I mean? Because it doesn't come around all the time. So
if you get
up there and freak out, yeah, exactly. So if you get up there and freak out there in that moment, you ruin it, not so much for the audience, even though you do it for them too, but even for yourself and their message. But, you know, let all of that wash over you. They got a top-notch team that will take care of you. Those guys are ladies and guys are – they are the best. I mean, I've worked with some people, and these guys are really, really good. And so, you're gonna be in really good hands. But I think, you know, you just got to make sure that you are balanced, that you are the Brian Zeitz that, you know, everybody knows and loves, you know, everything from strip malls to strip clubs. But anyway, that I won't get too personal with you. But seriously, that you also, though, are the bringer of this particular message that you're trying to bring. And if you get too into the personality, the message gets lost. If you get too into the message can't be properly delivered because the personality that's the conduit for it gets lost, too. So you got to, you know, make sure you have that balance or whatever. But I'm looking forward to it, man. I think you're going to be fantastic, you know.
I appreciate it. You guys have been very supportive along the way, so hopefully don't let you guys down.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you are.
If you see me get up and walk out like I did on last week,
yeah. See us both get up and throw that finger up like we're leaving church.
Right.
Then you know,
yeah,
like,
out of here.
You messed up. Right?
Yeah.
We don't know this guy. You know, it's just, exactly. We know Zeitz. We don't know who this guy is. You know,
right.
But you'll be all right. We'll be front and center. We won't make faces and all that kind of stuff. We'll answer the message, you know, and give
what
you the same support you gave us.
What'd you say, Elaine?
What are some of the keys that you would want us to take note of?
I think throughout the speech, and just, you know, note that, you know, some of the stories of how they, you know, maybe correlate to you in your life, you know, how, and then, you know, some of the, towards the middle and the end, how some of the, you know, key elements can apply to your daily actions as a firefighter.
Mm, okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Without giving too much away, you know.
Right. Okay, that didn't work. We figured we sent Elaine in. I saw her coming in on the throwing a curveball at me. So you're also going to be teaching up there this year. Maybe you can get in. Now, I know you could get into that because you got to get people to come to the class.
So the class I'm doing this year is it's Building the Aggressive Fire Company. And, you know, it's one of those – it's a pet peeve but a pet project, which sounds kind of counterintuitive. But the word aggressive has been in the fire service in the past probably – 5, 8, maybe even 10 years, been just thrown around. And so anybody, you know, you go to, you know, Larry, you're up at Winter Fire School. David, you're at Winter Fire School. Elaine, you know, we was up there, and, you know, and so you see, you know, you'd see these classrooms, right? I'd walk by a classroom, and I'd see, like, aggressive in the title, and the classroom would be packed full of people, and I'd look at the instructor, and I'm like, you know, all he's doing is essentially showing the same fire videos or, you know, using some vulgar language or, you know, it's that mentality, right? Of like, and I'm not saying aggressive is bad, but it kind of frustrated me. And I always, you know, from talking to people and even reading things, the term aggressive, in my eyes at least, got correlated to those companies or firefighters that were running, you know, 25 fires a day, which is not reality for anybody in the United States for the most part. And so then it became unattainable for the 95% of American firefighters to become aggressive, right, in their eyes, right? I'm a small-town America. How do I become aggressive if I don't go to a fire every day? Or I'm a volunteer firefighter, and I want to be an aggressive company officer, but I don't go to fires, you know, maybe 4 fires a year. How do you become – I guess I can't be aggressive. So it became this unattainable goal, yet that was the goal of the American Fire Service, was to be aggressive. So I took a look at it. I wrote down my thoughts, wrote into an article that will be in the Fire Engineering magazine this March, so right now, and really dissected the term aggressive into some fundamental aspects. And so, you know, if you want to be aggressive, I broke it down. Well, you know, just like anything you want to do, you got to have a plan. And so, I talk about, you know, what does it take to be aggressive? And it's not going on a fire every day. Now, can you become aggressive that way? Sure, because you're going to get on-the-job training. You're going to learn from your mistakes on a constant basis, and you're going to learn what goes right, what goes wrong. And we all know the problem with that is that, you know, that Swiss hole, that Swiss cheese effect of, you know, things go right for a while, and then the holes line up because you really didn't learn the right way. You just learned what kind of worked. So, you know, we talk about planning and what that looks like, and you know, talks about I go into some, you know, at a company level and in an organization level, you know, how do we get people to buy into things and talk about respect and mutual respect and values and, you know, behavior and accountability and what does accountability look like in the fire service and not just on scene accountability, but, you know, why do we tuck our shirts in? You know, silly stuff like that. Why do we still do those things? Why do we have policies? You're not going to force them, don't have them. So we talk about some of that stuff. And then so that's the planning aspect of it. Getting into some of how people react, right? So I talk, you know, in the class, we talk about, like, you know, why do you come into work? Like, you know, why are we on this call right now? Why is tomorrow morning, why, Larry, you're going to put a uniform on and go to Council, Illinois as the deputy chief of training? Well, one, you know, you maybe have a mortgage, right? So Larry doesn't. He's independently wealthy. But, you know, for the normal, right. the normal person, right, they got bills to pay and stuff like that. But, you know, we dive into that. And it's not so much, you know, your pay, your things you own. The value is what can I contribute? And, you know, I want, you know, we all get up and go to work and we do what we do because at the end of the day, I want to provide value to myself, value to my team, and value to my community. And the fire service clicks all those boxes. And so, you know, getting back to that, and when you got people that are running astray in your company that, you know, well, look at the last time they provided value, right? When's the last time you had a fire? You know, when's the last time you had a good training? When's the last time you let them lead a training? And so, you know, talking about that sort of stuff, talking about, you know, obviously, you know, the culture of the stations, expectations, policies, SOPs, SOGs, you know, open, honest communications, you know, yada, yada. Then we get into some, you know, fireground stuff, you know, because obviously, you know, we know, you know, it's all nice and you know, and sunny and smiley until we get to the fire. And so, you know, you know, we're going to be aggressive, but we also want to be aggressive on the fire ground. And so that's going to take training, and it's going to take some, you know, after action reports and PIAs and all those sort of things. And so we talk about that too. And so in the end, it's a myriad of topics that all come together that, again, you know, just like kind of the speech thing,
give you a foundation, which, you know, you can go back to your company, your department, your organization, whatever it might be, whatever level of impact you have, and take some key takeaways to make your department better, make your company better, and lead you to that quote-unquote aggressive idea that you want to be.
Mm-hmm. So you just take an aggressive, and I don't want to say redefined it, just made sure that it was defined correctly, because it's been defined, clarifying it better. I like that because you know, and the reason I like that, the way you came with that, is because we live in a world now where buzzwords, clickbait, you know, these kind of things just rule things. You know, people don't have to know facts anymore. They don't know history. Mm. They don't. I used to get a kick out of school just learning the history or the origin of a word, you know, the Latin meaning of it or whatever. Mm. And then, that's why we use it in this way now, or that's the term that, I get it now. And maybe it relates to how other words are formed, too. I learned that big time when I was in paramedic school. It's like, you know, pericardial, you know, like peri was the outer or the perimeter, you know, and then cardi was the, you know, so I'm just saying, you learn the history of words and why they work together. So having said that, along those lines, I like the way you taking the word, you know, somebody just heard the word aggressive, and then their picture in their mind, that meant, you know, hero music, come on, they feel burning building, and then they just kick in the door and go get it. Well, you know, did you do a 360? Nope. Did you do this? Nope. Did you do that? Nope. I just went in and got it. Was there a report of people trapped? Nope. Did you see the side seat was totally collapsed? Nope. You know, I just went in because why? Because I'm aggressive, you know. And then, when you have people who don't have a lot of fires and they finally get one, and then they have that aggressive mentality, they can't wait to use it. And they may not be using it the best way, and they don't realize that aggressive really means, you know, how well do you train and how well how well do you present your department, and how well do you do the necessary things to make sure that you do things the best way possible. It's not just this one step you put on the accelerator and go without any kind of precursor, if you will, to aggressively getting prepared for it or doing those aggressive little things that keep your senses heightened. You know, you might hear a creak and say, you know what, that's a funny feeling. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a possible building collapse or whatever the case may be. And then you know how to aggressively, you know, get yourself out of the situation if possible. So I mean, that's a great way to kind of redefine things to make sure we just not falling for the buzzword and then acting or reacting in a lot of cases erroneously to that buzzword, you know.
But also aggressive is also, like you said, I'm glad that you redefined it, because it really is about zealously being effective. You know what I mean? And you ask yourself how effective you are, as opposed to, so it's like when we talk in class about the difference between productivity and activity. Like, you can do a lot of stuff and do it with a lot of zeal and, you know, and that kind of thing. But are you being effective? Are you setting yourself up to get the best outcome each time? Are you using all of your resources properly to be effective on the encounters you do have? The number then becomes irrelevant. The effectiveness becomes more the thing. So, you know, what I hear this being is a thing that sort of brings us back to honing in on that notion, you know.
Well, like I said, when I've done this class before, and I always started the same as, you know, we talked a little bit, and I said, so what does aggressive actually mean to you? And, you know, the audience, you know, or the class will, it'll start out the same, right? It'll be like, oh, it's the guys that go to jobs, it's the firefighters that make the grabs. And it's the same words, right? It's the jobs, the grabs, making the hookups. It's all those buzzwords, right, that, you know, that are there. But, to, you know, Larry, like you were saying, that you got to say to be relevant in today's fire service to
right.
talk the talk. And so then, and I say, okay, well, does that really mean anything if you don't go to those jobs, make the grabs? Can you not be aggressive? And everybody's like, well, and I said, I don't think so. For me, I said, you know, aggressive means, and I always, this is an acronym, but seeing the emergency scene for what it is. And when I say that is, it's safe, efficient, effective operations. So seeing is safe, efficient, effective. And so like what David was saying is, you know, it's the same thing, right? It's safe, effective, and efficient operations. To be able to mitigate whatever situation your company is engaged in, and that's what I would think if I'm a, you know, John Q. Public. That's what I want out of my company. I don't care about you know, banners on the side of the trucks. I don't care about you know, fancy tattoos or T-shirts or any of that stuff. All cool. I'm not knocking it. I really more concerned with, can you really operate? And can you function at a high level when they need you to?
Yeah, David talked about that. Go ahead, Yvonne.
You all stopped interrupting me right now. I'm sorry. I was just thinking of the term aggressive that has, you know, a meaning that a lot of people think of in a certain way. And so it's really good to see how you can apply it, and it might not even have the same impact or the same definition that the person is thinking, that you're teaching, that you're talking to. Because a lot of times it can have a negative connotation. And so I think that's cool that you're using a term and giving it, you know, another side to be looked at. But it also is indicating effectiveness, you know, effective aggression.
Right. Exactly. David and I, and David usually, this is his segment when we teach in GLUE about being efficient and effective. And Dave, why don't you kind of expound on that a bit? So that's kind of some of, kind of, you know, it's along the same lines of what Brian is talking about.
No, I mean, you got to have the balance between that, like you said, like she was saying, that the public wants you to just get there and be effective. I don't care how you put the fire out, or I don't care how you mitigate this medical emergency. I just want it solved and dealt with, you know. And but a lot of times the municipalities or the leadership, they focus a lot on efficiency. Do you have proper equipment? Is it in the proper working order? Do you have a system in place where we can maximize our response to calls and that kind of thing? So to set you up to be effective. And the people who have to do this, the guys and girls on the front line, have to balance that efficiency and effectiveness. And you know, the problem is when you have an imbalance between those two things, and looking at the word aggressive the wrong way can create that imbalance. You usually form this gap between what's supposed to happen and what actually happens. And a lot of times the bad part is, you know, the people you're supposed to be helping, or sometimes firefighters themselves fall in that gap and you know, catastrophe ensues. And so you got to maintain that balance, and that's important. So it sounds like a great class. You know?
Yeah.
I think what really helps with that is that when we do change that paradigm, as Chief Zeitz is doing in his class, is that we change the paradigm, you maximize your aggressiveness at that point. Because you understand the job, you understand what's needed, and then you understand how to properly execute all of this instead of waiting for something to happen, and then you think aggressive is going to naturally kick in. Aggressive is the little things that you do to where aggressive just becomes part of your DNA without you having to start it from scratch, so to speak. You know? When my daughter Chelsea ran track, when she ran track, we used to go to the gym every morning. We do all these exercises that I've learned from her coaches and just doing research. And there was a lot of stuff to help with her quick step and a lot of stuff to help with exercising muscles she didn't know she had. So by the time she hit the track, you know, people who were sleeping while she was working out, they had to, like, you know, kind of pull their aggression from zero and try to, you know, run and perform. Chelsea was just became naturally aggressive in her performance because of what she did in the downtime. She was aggressive about stuff that people didn't see, you know. So when people come up and they show up and they kind of pulling it from zero, they had a lot of catching up to do, you know. So when you are maximizing it with your departments and with your teams and things of that sort, aggressive just becomes something that is who you are and not what you advertise that you are, because it sounds good, sounds cool. And like you said, they got the T-shirt and the tattoos and all that, you know. We're part of the aggressive team. We the Aggies, you know, sharp or aggressive, you know. But everything they do, even like you said, the majority of they're busy departments, but a lot of departments just don't run like a lot of inner urban departments do. And I like what you said. So where does that make you if you're somewhere who don't run? You need to be there because the taxpayers or the volunteer organization has expectations of the fire protection. But if you don't get it, then are you you know what? We just ain't going to do the aggressive things and we don't get no runs. You need to be aggressive about the things that that feed your readiness. And you're aggressive about things that feed your readiness. That's just as aggressive as, like you said, doing it, making a grab, and all that stuff. So by the time, you know, when it does happen, if it happens less frequent with your department or more frequent, you're ready to save lives and property, you know. That kind of what you with the vision you was talking about, Chief.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, I used to volunteer at a department in southwest Missouri, a tourist town. You can probably put two and two together. And, you know, I would do training with those firefighters down there. It's great people. And so I always told them, I said, you know, you're in a tourist town. They were all volunteer. And so, you know, when the tourist comes to town, that tourist doesn't know that they're a volunteer fire department, right? So, like, when somebody from Manhattan shows up in St. Louis or Manhattan shows up in Collinsville or Kirkwood or wherever, right, they expect the firefighters to be happy and alive. They don't know any different. Mm-hmm. You know, they know what they're local for. You know, they just assume that's what it is. And so, I always used to say, it's like, you know, our call volume as a volunteer agency is not an excuse for passive firefighting. We will be aggressive because we'll be smart and we'll know what to do. And so, you know, and when you have that, you know, the spirit, you know, that amongst the group, you know, anything's possible. So that's what this class is all about. I'm excited about it. You know, I've done it a few times now. And so it's very interactive. And so it gives you the tools to take back to your department, to really clearly define aggressive in your organization, and then build yourself that aggressive company that's actually functional.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Good stuff. Well, I think anybody goes to your class, you know what day and time your class is?
It's Monday afternoon from 1:30 to 5:30.
Okay, so you got a pre-conference. Cool.
Yep, yeah, four-hour pre-conference. Yep. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's great. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure anybody who comes to class is going to walk out knowing the difference and knowing how to properly apply their aggressive behavior, you know, and so I'm excited about that. So we talked about some ISFSI stuff. Tell us what's going on with the ISFSI and what they're going to be doing at FDIC and when the everybody really wants to know when it's the social. That's what they want to know.
great things. Yeah, ISMSI is doing really well. We're growing by leaps and bounds. Our small department and large department memberships. So, Grant, depending on the size of your organization, where you fall into that, are growing, which is a fantastic thing to have. Our individual memberships are growing. We're currently sitting right over 1,800 members, members strong. We got presence all over the United States. We just picked up our first member from Kenya, the Kenyan airport. On the fire chief from over there. So very excited about that opportunity, right? We are right in the middle of delivering our NFPA 1700 Guide for Structural Firefighting course. It's a two-day course. It'll be here in St. Louis March 29th and 30th. So it's a free delivery, fire grant funded. So we are submitting for another grant here soon. More to come on that. Hopefully get awarded that. Been working with our different partners at the National Fire Academy and the National Fallen Firefighters and developing some different things with them. And then, of course, we'll be at FDIC like we are every year. That's our home. We love FDIC at the ISFSI. We will be having our social event on Tuesday night. It's a little different this year. There's a fee part, and it's required pre-registration. It's a members-only event, and so it's $25 to register, but we think it's well worth it, right? So we're going to have some special guests that will be there. But the big thing is, for the partiers, it's basically a reception hall, very nice reception hall. It's a little fancier, formal event, but there'll be catered food and then an open bar. So, no longer, like we used to do the one drink ticket, hey, go get your beer, and then what do you do for 3 hours and stand around without a drink? So we're doing that this year. It's a little different idea, but talking to our members and that sort of thing, we decided to roll that out. So it's been received pretty well. We got pretty good enrollment so far, and we expect to even have even more people as we get closer to FDIC. We have Larry. I think you were involved in the last one. We have culminated our 5 years with ISFSI on our strategic plan, accomplishing many of the goals and objectives we set out to get in the last 5 years. And so, we will be embarking on that project the fall of this year, having another strategic planning session, and then basically developing that 5-year roadmap for us for the future growth. Right. So, God willing. the votes come in. I'm going to announce it here first, but run for the president of ISFSI for the 24th through 26th session. So, assuming I can vote, and maybe I get the Conley brothers to support me and Mrs. Conley. Hopefully that works, and look forward to continuing with ISFSI and leading them. Hopefully, into some more stuff, but. Yeah, it's going really well. Like I said, we're excited about the FDIC. Obviously, very sad to see Bobby pass, and we had a great relationship with Bobby. Spoke with Chief Rhodes a couple times, and excited about the opportunities that are going to be afforded with FDIC and those sort of things, and just want to keep that strong partnership alive between the two organizations. Like I said, ISFSI and FDIC have long been partners together, and ISFSI is where the instructors are, and FDIC is where the instructors teach. So. It only makes sense that the two co-brand.
Right. No, it's a great partnership, great branding. I've been in a lot of behind-the-scenes meetings over the years, and, I didn't realize the relationship or how much, planning and vision it took until I was on the board and was privy to some of the meetings. And, man, I'm going to tell you that the reason they both are as successful as they are is because they're very big visionaries in both organizations, and then vision. They not only have their vision, then they make things happen based on their vision. They're aggressive. the execution of the vision to make sure that they're not only instructors are equipped with what they need to teach the fire service, But we are up on the cutting edge of things that going to make firefighting better, firefighters and firefighting safer. And when I say safer, don't get me wrong. I know people say, oh, the firefighting ain't safe. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about preventable dumb stuff, you know, now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, firefighting, you scared to get burned, get hurt, or die, don't be a firefighter. So I worked in St. Louis for 30 years, and so we had an aggressive interior attack department. And now working in Collinsville, it's the same mentality. You know, when it's time to go get it, it's time to go get it. But there are a lot of preventable things that once the NIOSH report comes back or you do after-action discussions about what happened, if somebody got hurt and things like that, if it's an act of God that no matter what you could have done, wouldn't have prevented the injury or death, that's one thing that comes with the territory of being a firefighter. But there's a lot of things out there that just, you know, just get overlooked, not thought of as important, and then those are the things that you end up, you know, getting hurt or getting, you know, or worse. And then your family suffers, the department suffers, and you suffer, you know. And if you had to do it all over again, you wouldn't have done that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm talking about when I say safe, not safe in a way that there's a safe way to run into a burning building and save life and property. I'm just talking about as far as doing preventable, you know, dumb stuff that people do, but they think the ends justify the means. So they say, well, it's just a dangerous job. It's already a dangerous job inherently. We don't need to add to it, add more sprinkles to it, you know, to you know, increase our chances of preventable, you know, stuff. So that's the issue a lot of times. But places like FDIC, places, things like organizations like ISFSI, when you really lean into the missions, all they're really trying to do is make sure that we do our job the best way we can. You know? That's why I love being a part of it.
Brian?
Yes.
What made you want to become a firefighter to begin with?
So that's an interesting question. So
I know that, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. So growing up, growing up, I had on my father's side of the family, my Uncle Bob, who was pretty influential with me growing up. He was a fire. He was retired as a captain out of the Creve Corps. And so, you know, I kind of saw that as an opportunity. I knew probably for me, now, of course, I say this because I sit behind a desk, I didn't think I could do the 40-hour desk job thing. I just, you know, it was just not for me. And so I wanted something a little more, you know, life to it, I guess you'd say. So, you know, at, you know, 14, 15 years old, I started this, you know, that junior firefighter program. And, and kind of took off from there with the medic school, got hired, and kind of the rest is history. And then, ironically, so my last name, I had my dad's side of the family, Zeitz. And then, you know, it wasn't until, you know, I started doing some looking and stuff like that, I found out that my mom's side of the family, and she's a Schumert, but her grandfather was a Zerwesta, another Z, which is weird on my mom's side, was a firefighter in 1908 in Webster Groves. So did some research on that. Talked to my grandma before she passed and found some pictures. And so ended up, got his picture driving a horse-drawn fire truck in the cobblestone streets of Webster Groves. Got his old fire hat. Found a picture with a transition from horses to ox. I got his badges. I got his 1908 pulley manual. So kind of history on both sides, I guess, kind of led me down that proverbial path. Obviously not knowing the mom side of the family, but then my uncle, very influential. I always tell him I was the son he didn't have because he's got three daughters.
I said, I'm the son you didn't have. So, yeah, that's kind of it, you know. And, you know, I like math. I was, my brother Mike is a CPA, and we always joked that we were going to open up Z-squared, a couple CPA firms, because I like doing math, and that sort of stuff, the nerdy side of me. Yeah, that's kind of it.
Well, ask your question, because that's kind of, some of that's kind of the, what the root of your message, too.
Yep.
Kind of what fuels your message is your journey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you look at people like, you know, I'm, you know, in high school doing the junior thing and going to trainings and drills and things and, you know, kind of setting myself up for this, you know, career. A lot of people go through high school, even through college, and they're just like, I don't know what I'm going to do in my life. And, you know, 15 years old, this is all I'll ever do. I couldn't think of anything else. So, yeah, kind of different.
That's good.
Yeah, I like hearing those stories, too, why do people decide to do it, you know. And I need that job. But seriously, I stumbled upon something. God was definitely watching me, because I ended up stumbling upon something that I fell in love with. I didn't know. It just, like, the hour sounded good to me. I wish I had those stories about, you know, traditionally my dad or my uncle or somebody who I knew was a firefighter, and that inspired me to be, and I can be, you know, watching them fight a fire, and the ceiling comes down on the helmet comes out, and I pick it up, and I'm on the cover like that. I don't have that story, you know, but I am glad that I became a firefighter. I'm glad I rose through the ranks, not so much for the reason of most people would like to, but just because it just gave me opportunity to help more people, and we're in the helping people business in the first place, and if we can find ways to continue to help our own via instruction and doing things the way we do, it just makes it even better for our respective teams and all. Let me see. All my notes I got, let me see, I covered Brian. He's this and that. We got that. Got the social, got the drinking, got the open bar, got the class, got the keynote. I think pretty much everything I want to go over with you there. You know, and the only thing left is for us to do our annual pre-lunch that we do with Chief Wright, Chief Silvernail. And I think we're going to try to get Chief Overman this year, and annual pre-FDIC luncheon. Because we know once we get there, and we hate to say this, but we say it because we love him and we hope he includes us, we lose Chief Silvernail when we get to FDIC. I don't know why.
I don't even think. I got two letters, F and V. He wrote a book called Step Up and Lead.
Right.
Yeah, you put the rest of it together.
Right. You put it together. You, for those who look at, for smart people, you know, just think of those two letters, F and V, and then it's over then, you know. And Jim gets the FDIC, he steps up, and then Brian and I have to step down. You know, we had to eat a White Castle, and so somebody said, in a fancy restaurant somewhere, you know. So, no, but seriously. The Missouri cadre is really. I was gonna start naming names, but I think there are more names that I even got on in my brain. I don't want to say them without slighting them, but you know who you are, and making Missouri proud with your teaching and your contribution to the fire service and teaching the FDIC. Missouri is well represented at FDIC, so I just want to say thank you to all of you who put the time in to, because Chief Zeitz knows, and David and I know, you know, what you see when we get to FDIC comes from a lot of preparation, the hard work and practice and late nights and things like that to prepare to speak for those few minutes. You know, it takes a lot of minutes to prepare to speak for those few minutes and try to hopefully make an impact in firefighters' lives who we feel humbled that people come to our classes and come to see what we've got to say. And that's a very humbling experience. So it's not about being in front of everybody and all that kind of stuff. It's about the preparation it takes to serve who in the audience and then come back home and continue to serve who on our departments. You know, I'm blessed now to do the deputy chief job in Collinsville, Illinois, but I definitely don't look at it as a boss move. I look at it as like, now I have a bigger platform to serve and to give and to make the firefighters in Collinsville better through, you know, what I have to offer through training and service. And when you look at it like that and believe it like that and understand that that's how it is, then you don't get too big for your britches and people truly get the service they need. And ultimately, when the firefighters get the service and training they need, the citizens win. At the end of the day, that's what it's all about when we talk about, you know, we want the citizens to win. That's how they win, is how well prepared we are. Our optimum readiness is how prepared they are. Speaking of optimum readiness, be sure to check out our class, Proven Leadership Habits for Optimum Personal Performance, which will be at FDIC on Thursday, the 27th, between 3:30 and 5:15. Shameless plug, but make sure you start out. And we'll be there and check out Keith Zeit's class. And just come on, like I said at the beginning, come on down, have a great time. We'll be glad to meet you. And just, you know, make this, this is going to be, if you weren't planning on coming, make sure you come this year, because if you know anything about Chief Bobby Hall and the legacy that he did in this 18 years, there will never be a year after Bobby has passed FDIC. Everything else is going to be subsequent after that. So it's going to be the dawn of a new beginning, maybe sooner than Bobby wanted, and definitely sooner probably than Chief David Rose was thinking. Like, oh, I got a couple of years. Oh, damn, right now. But I got a lot of faith in the leadership. I got a lot of faith in Diane. I got a lot of faith in Chief Rhodes. And I got a lot of faith in everyone involved in Clarion, the Clarion organization that puts this all together. You can't do anything this big for this long without having a top-notch team to put together. It's a lot to put this production on. It's a lot for a whole week. There's a lot to fly and get instructors in. It's a lot to organize the rooms. It's a lot to have the permits and you know, it's a lot. I bet if I talk to Chief Ernie Malone, he'll say it's a lot. You know, he's like, "How is this a lot?" You know. So, so I have mad respect. We got it easy, so to speak. We show up. We show up where they tell us to be. We show up at the hotel they tell us to be. We show up at the room or where the venue we teach in. We do what we got to do. We go to classes, other classes, and learn from them. We buy cool stuff, and we go to social. And, you know, we do all this stuff based on somebody else's hard work and making sure it's available. So, if nobody tells you guys enough, we appreciate you. I appreciate you, you know. But anyway, let's wrap this thing up. Chief Zeit's got we want him to get plenty of sleep between now and the end of April, so we don't want to keep him up too late. Like, man, if I'm on the phone in college all night, I would be there yawning on stage. It's y'all fault. Y'all fault. David and Larry. Sabotage. Right. Saboteurs, you know.
Set me up.
Set me up. You know. But no, Brian got it covered. I would say, I used to say Brian got the cover from A to Z, but the first thing is Brian. So He fell a little short. So he got cut from B to Z. You know, so but your name is Brian. Your name is Brian Zeitz. You got cover from B to Z. But anyway, let's wrap it up. Parting words from Cute Sykes, David, Mommy Lane, and then I'll bet clean up on that. So, Chief Zeitz, any parting words, bud?
No, I think we're good. It's always fun talking to you guys. Look forward to FDIC, and, you know, thanks for the time tonight.
Mm-hmm. Our pleasure. David?
Yeah, always, brother, we're rooting for you.
Appreciate
it. Your family, so we're pulling for you, and we'll get up there and help you do the old soft show if we need to. You know what I mean? You start forgetting the line. We'll go up there and do a little two-step. Yeah. But no, I'm believing in you. I got all confidence. I'm excited to see you knock it out the park. Looking forward to celebrating afterwards. You're a class act. And we know it. And anybody who's ever sat under your leadership or your in a class of yours knows, but anybody's ever hung out with you knows too. So the rest of the folks at FDIC are just about to find out. So you definitely want to be there. You want to hear what he's got to say. You don't want to miss it. I'm looking forward to it. Go get him.
Well, I'm proud of you. And I think you've done a good job. When I look at your resume, I didn't realize that you had all of these accomplishments. I mean, I knew you had some, but this is very impressive. But you're a great person. You're one of my favorite persons that I've met along the way in this journey that my son took to become a firefighter and be a firefighter. And I know you're just going to take it to the wall when you get up there and do your keynote speech, and it's just going to be a summation of who you really are all along. I'm reading your resume, and I see how you did take aggression and use it properly, and so that's the same thing you're going to be doing when you make your speech, and the same thing you will continue to do in your career, and so I'm proud of you, and I usually say succeeded, you know. But that's just between me and you. But anyway, but that's where all your small ones got to be, you know, respectful. So, no, for real, seriously, I'm very proud of you and your accomplishments.
Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show. I appreciate you being a friend. I appreciate us being always 100 with each other and helping each other out when we can. I was going to say when Mommy Lane was talking, can you say his name? Forget that. They give old people. They forget. I guess
TRS. Thank you for being a friend.
Right. Exactly.
TRS,
you know. We're definitely going to be pulling for you. And Bobby knew what he was doing to pick you to do this keynote speech because Bobby might have people that he cool with, his favorites of his or whatever, but if he didn't think that you can deliver, he was not going to put you in that position. And I respected him about that. You know, he didn't put you, and he might not. There have been people out there I've had private conversations with. I've been knowing them a long time. There are people, some people you almost didn't necessarily care for, so to speak. Maybe they had different political views or different, whatever the differences were. But if he thought that they knew what they were talking about or they were good for the fire service, he knew he was the master of putting those differences aside and letting that person shine if he had to have something to do with, you know, there was some partnership there. So I always appreciate that because that was a thing that we definitely could always use in the firehouses. You know, we got this cancer culture and everything that's so prevalent these days, and some of it is trying to really infect the fire service in our firehouses. And we just can't let that happen because at the end of the day, you go, we go may sound like a movie quote, but it's supposed to be for real. And we can't really manifest that if we got differences that separate us to the point to where we can't have each other's back, you know. So I know that you got my back, I got your back, we have always had that, and this journey of feeding each other along this career we call the fire service. And you and Jim were instrumental in me aspiring to finish my degree and put myself in a position to get the deputy chief job. And you all were huge in that influence, whether you know it or not, you know, because I was just doing things as a gangster captain from North St. Louis, North St. Louis, you know, and just, you know, doing it like that. But you all opened my eyes to, like, Larry, there's something there. I mean, you're doing good. You're doing cool, but there's a little bit more out there if you just stretch. And when I made the stretch, then the opportunity was there, and you guys were planting that seed, and that vision was big. And that's, I'm always appreciate that from you guys. And so keep doing it, and I'm going to keep doing it. And a lot of it based on you, my good friend Brian Zaitz. better known as Zaitz, you know. But we're going to see you. We're going to see you soon for the lunch, and see you at the FDIC. And let's go up there and make Bobby proud. But even more, let's go up there and serve who we run into, so we can learn something from the people we run into. And then we can also leave something that can help them with their lives as well.
Yeah.
So, appreciate you, brother. Love you. And that's all I got to say about that. So we'll see you at FDIC. David and I are going to be doing our show live from FDIC. Can't wait to do that. That's always very fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think 1 year we even had Brian on the show live up there at
FDIC
one time. That was cool.
Yeah,
the
lowest rated show, but it was
fun. Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
But, I'm just kidding. You know. but yeah, no, we had a good time with that. So we'll be up there again this year and doing that. I think they're doing a little. Like from the emails I got from Peter, it's going to be a little different twist this year. I think you're going to be see us doing it in a different location or something. So I'm looking forward to that experience. They're going to have a tribute to Bobby, I think, on Wednesday night at 5:30. So I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward, interesting in how the opening ceremonies are going to go. So looking forward to that. And just looking forward to just hanging out for a week with a bunch of people who love the job. As Dave Dabowski, who's the president of the Muddy River Schools, always say, it's okay to love the job. And whatever that means in the culture of people sometimes try to make you feel guilty about loving the job. It's okay to love the job. And I totally agree with that. I still love the job. Even at this age and this part of my career, I still love the job, and it's done a lot for me in more ways than I can talk about. So, but we'll see you at FDIC. That's when our next show is going to be, and then we'll have a show shortly after that with another great guest talking all things leadership. But until then, stay safe, stay aggressive. stay aggressive in the right way. Really study that point that Chief Wright brought up. Really study that. I like that. I'm going to meditate on that some more. Mm-hmm. And so we can really put aggressive in its proper place so we can do our job more effectively, more effective and more efficient. So I like that. If I get a chance, I'm going to sit in on this job and take some more notes and gain some more knowledge from that philosophy. So, anyway, we appreciate you, and we'll see everybody at FDIC. I think Dave and I got a few dates, so check our website and check the Facebook page for where we're going to be. Where's Larry and David in the world? We've had some classes last couple of months. They've been really, really good. So check us out. I think we got maybe one or two more before FDIC. But check us out at www.gluenationldc.com. Check us out on Facebook. There's always something weird going on Facebook with us and where we are and all that kind of stuff. Just two brothers from North St. Louis having a good time spreading the love of the ministry of personal leadership. That's all we do. That's all we doing.
This is all it is.
This is all love, baby. This is all love. We love what we love. So we just give the love. And thank God for Mommy Lane for birthing us into the world, you know. Well over 50 years ago. Thank God.
Uh-oh. Is this thing on? Hello?
Stay safe. We'll see you guys next time on the Larry Connolly Radio Show. Later.
Good night, y'all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bye, Brian. Mm-hmm.